I grew up in New Jersey and went to college at Boston University in Massachusetts, and it was there that I first took poetry classes. I hadn't planned on becoming a poet. Most of my interest was in music and theater, and to this day, I love songs, I love theatrical productions, I love musical theater and opera, and I became increasingly interested in poetry throughout college, but still my poetry contends with a lot of those subjects. And my first book just came out in November, Second Empire, and there are many poems in it about music, about opera. And I think of the whole book as a kind of theatrical experience, even though some of the poems are autobiographical and based on things in my life. As an author of the book, you're kind of creating a stage set for your reader to behold the particular scenes. You get to try on different voices. And so I think of being a poet as a very theatrical kind of way of being an artist.
Well, and what drew you into poetry versus just sticking strictly to theater?
Well, my freshman year of college, I took a course on modern poetry and poetics, and my teacher had this wonderful tradition of giving each student in the class a book based on what she came to know of our tastes and interests and preferences. And she gave me a book called Divine Comedies by the poet James Merrill. And I totally became obsessed with his work. And I ended up cataloging his book collection at his house in Stonington, in Connecticut, writing my senior thesis on his work and kind of dedicating myself to poetry. So that simple gift, my freshman year, I think completely inspired me to become deeply invested in poetry.
When compared to theater, poetry might seem to some like more of an internal thing. Although I know for a lot of young poets, readings, even sort of poetry slams are really popular. So it is more of an extroverted thing. Is your poetry something that's best heard out loud, or is it kind of, both worlds?
Yeah, I think it has to exist in both worlds. I mean, reading is usually a private act, and my wish is for the poems to be interesting on the page. I employ a lot of traditional forms in my poems, rhymes. There are many sonnets in this book, but I think ultimately the best situation for poetry is on the voice. And nothing quite compares to experiencing a poem in the human voice as a medium. I am quite an extroverted person. I love to do readings. I love to read the poems and share them with people. That really excites me. And I think as an appreciator of poetry, there's so many times I've been to a poetry reading and hearing a poem in the poet's voice or recited by some kind of loving reader has changed the way I experience the poem. Sometimes the voice activates new ways of appreciating a poem through its sound, through its verbal texture, through its timing that create new ways of enjoying it.
So all that said, let's go ahead and take a listen to you reading a poem or two.
Sure. I'm going to read the poem Midwinter because it's a midwinter poem for a midwinter day. And I wrote it for my friend Emily based on an experience we had visiting a house in Maryland. Midwinter. Wearing Wellington boots, we followed the retriever along the perimeter of the property. Just that morning, a man and his son had brought in firewood from the fallen tree. Through barberry, a small clearing in the woods, hollow like the inside of a cello. I walked around a tree stump like mustard seed. After sunset, we looked through a square window into the stark cabin where Jean writes. In a bubble in the antique glass, the sky swirled. Reflected like a sequin, like summer even, though it was New Year's Day, and the world was dusky, and the dog, the house, the woods, the books, they weren't even ours.
Wonderful, thank you. Did you have another selection you'd like to share?
Yes, this is a poem called Imperial City, and it's actually the last poem that appears in Second Empire. It takes as its basis a childhood trip I took to a small town called Speyer in Germany, where my ancestors on my father's side had lived for many, many years. And I absolutely had the worst time.
Typical of a kid on vacation with their family, right?
Exactly, especially a historical vacation to German churches and things like that. Not exactly what every kid wants to do.
Right.
Imperial City. From the outset, I hated the city of my ancestors. I was fearful I'd be put in the dungeon below the cathedral. The best example of the Romanesque, a guide was saying in German, in English, in French, where are buried 8 German kings, 4 queens, 23 bishops, 4 Holy Roman emperors, all of whom used this bishopric on the river as the seat of the kingdom. On the old gate at one end, a clock tolled an ancient form of time. I sulked along behind my parents as the guide gave facts about the war with the Saracens, about the place where the Jews bathed, about the child like me, whose father, the peaceful, having already produced an heir by his first marriage, could marry for love.
Thank you. Great. So you'll be in Springfield Thursday as part of the Shelter Belt series that is a local event, ongoing series, obviously, here. And you'll actually be doing so in the WUAS NPR Illinois studios, and we're inviting the public to that. So what's your pitch to people who, you know, maybe aren't even all that into poetry?
Well, I'm so excited to share this book and these poems with new readers. Poetry can sometimes be a difficult draw for people who aren't used to it. But I assure you, there's something for you to enjoy. Go to a poetry reading. You never know what is going to strike you. It's the oldest art form we still have in existence for a reason, I think. And it's because we can always find ways poems can touch our lives and be a part of us. So it's time to give it a chance. I think Thursday is the perfect time, and Springfield is the place.